want to tell the girls I appreciate that song because that's what I feel about myself sometimes. When there's other ministers around and all the Lord asks is, just give me the little loaves and the fish that you have. Because you know what? Unless He blesses it, it won't be blessed anyhow. So I desire your prayers this morning. I have a place that I'd like for us to go to in Luke, the 13th chapter, and in the 7th verse, starting in the 6th verse. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? As we look at this story about the Lord coming along and looking for fruit, we understand that this is, in our lives, He comes by checking for fruit. You know, one of the first things that can happen if I'm not careful is I take this and say, okay, I believe I'll check around for some fruit in other people's lives. I wonder if how this one's doing, how that one's doing. When you know I need to take this story and focus completely on myself, that the Lord is coming to my life and taking an inventory. Is there any fruit on the tree of my life today? And He says, for these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this tree, fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? There is a song that Brother Harlan Sarl sang before. It said in it, Justice called, but mercy answered. I need to be so thankful that when justice called, there are times throughout our lives when the Lord maybe comes looking for fruit and the fruit is not being produced like He would like for it to be. I am so glad the story didn't end there. Instead, it says, He's talking to the dresser of the vineyard. Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? But here comes an answer in return. And He answering in the 8th verse said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Jesus Himself coming in behalf of each one of us and telling God, hold off a little bit more. Let me spend a little special time with Dan, with each one of us individually. I'm going to see if I can cause some fruit to be produced in his life. Give me a little time before you cut it off. As I look back over my life, I see where that happened. Times where God could have said, He's been around long enough, it's time to cut it down. But now I see where Jesus said, give me a little time, I'm going to spend some special time with Him and get Him to see who He really is. You know, my life was not so much that I want to go out and sin and do wrong, but you know, I came to a place where I justified myself and spent a whole lot of time looking at others and where they are or where they should be. And the Lord came along one day and helped me to turn my focus into myself. And as I saw that picture, I am very thankful for the mercy that He showed. That He would come along and say, give me just a little bit of time. Give me a little more time. Don't cut Him off. Give me a little more time. And then after that, if I can't produce any fruit, if no fruit can be produced, then you can cut it down. I want to say I'm very thankful for that mercy that has been shown to me. And I'm interested this morning. Sometimes this story can seem it's just a parable out in the Bible. I would like for us to think for a little bit how this fits into 2012 in my life. When the Lord says, I want to be able to work with Dan a little bit this year and see if I can produce some more fruit in his life. I want to ask you something. Have you ever asked the Lord for patience? How would you get that fruit to produce in your life? Because you know what? Usually when everything is going well, I really don't need much of it. It's just when things are going my way and people are treating me good, I have all the patience I need. Well, really, I'm not having to exercise any of it. But it's when things start going wrong. And so how that comes, when this picture right here, let me dig about it a little bit. You know, He's going to use people most of the time to help me to see that I need to produce more fruit in an area. And I would like this morning to be able to give you a little story. It just happened this past week. Because I can go along through life feeling like everything is fine. And the Lord sees, then there's an area in your life that you need to produce. I want you to produce fruit. Because, you know, really, we're in a what we consider a Christian nation all around us. It's only when the pressure is applied that the world in general is going to see Christ. Everybody can live it when the sun's shining. They can do well, but it's when pressure is applied. So how is the Lord going to be able to get people to see Christ in me? A lot of times it's when there's a little pressure applied. So I don't really need patience. Things are going along well. But a few days ago, before we came out here, I had just a few things I needed to pick up at the grocery store. Now, a grocery store is somewhere where you're going to learn patience. I don't have to go there very often. I have gone to Walmart before, and I look at some of these new super Walmarts. They may have 25 aisles. Looks like they can get people in and out quick. But when you go through there, a lot of times they only have about two of them open, and all the rest of them are empty. And there's people lined up waiting to get out of those. Well, I went into a store, grocery store there, and I had just a few items that I needed to pick up. Didn't even have to have a buggy, just carrying them in my hands there. Well, I go up, and in this store, there's several aisles, but there's only about two or three of them that have somebody waiting on customers. So I do what maybe others do, walk along, size them up, you know, which one looks like I'll get out of here the quickest, so I picked one. There was only one lady in this line. But you see those little dividers that they put in between this is my groceries and this is the next person's groceries? Well, I should have had a clue because there was three compartments of groceries sitting on this belt. Fitting to go up, but there's only one person. And I thought, well, that's okay. Somebody has forgotten to, you know, they went back to pick up something real quick while this lady is going through. But on that day, I met the coupon lady. I have never known what that was before. Now, I've seen people, they say, I would like to get a dollar off on this box of cereal, and that's no problem there. But this lady, she was, I don't know how long she had been building up for this day to come shopping. I found out that there wasn't going to be another lady coming for those separated compartments. This was all this lady's groceries. And she had this envelope that she held in her hand for this compartment. So they went through all those and told her how much it was, and she handed out this. Well, looks like there's maybe 20 coupons in that envelope. And so they have to take every one of them, run it through the scanner. And so they told her, okay, this is how much money you saved. Well, she did a little victory dance right there in the aisle. And I thought, you know, that's okay, she's fixing to leave. But she wasn't fixing to leave. This was just the first compartment of her groceries. And then the second compartment, she's ready. I don't know how much time they spend to be able to do this. But she had her envelope ready for this next section of groceries that would come through. And they worked on it, and then the money that she got back, and then the third one. Well, by the time all this had gone through, I was kind of tired of the coupon lady. I just had a few things that I wanted to take through. Let's go back to this verse here. Let it alone this year also. Let me dig about it a little bit, because there's some fruit that he doesn't even know he needs. Well, I finally got tired of waiting for that one. And so I skipped over to the next one and found out it must have been the coupon lady's friend, because she had that one occupied too, with her coupons, with her envelopes. So I thought, okay, hers is even bigger than the first one that I went to. So I went back. Well, by then somebody's already gotten in between me again. You know, all those things, I didn't say a word, but my thoughts were, ma'am, I'd give you $2 if you'd just, you know, forget the coupons and go ahead and go. It can, you know, we know how to act on the outside. The Lord wants to come along and produce some fruit that on the inside, it just flows out of us. That there's not even something on the inside that starts to want to spill over. Now, you may have no problem with that kind of thing, but I want to tell you, every one of us will have this fruit production. We may think of it as some big thing in our lives that brings it about. The majority of it will come in everyday events that happen in your life, where the Lord allows this to happen, and I can think, it's somebody else. this person has done me wrong here. And if I could get a hold to this parable right here and turn it around and say, I believe the Lord is desiring fruit out of my life. How else will the world see it? So when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view, that the fruit is being produced. So this morning I'd like for a little bit to take a look at fruit. Does it start only after I'm saved? Is there not a place that it starts while I'm still out in sin? Do you remember when John the Baptist was preaching to the people in Matthew 3 and 8? And he told them, you need to bring forth fruits, meet for repentance. What does that mean? I have in the past been planning on, I want to start a diet. And the best time to plan it is over the weekend, because you're best to start them on Mondays. Because over the weekend, and why is that? Well, I get it all planned out of how I'm going to do it. Here's where I'm going to be cutting back come Monday. But I've got Saturday and Sunday still yet. And there's several things that I haven't eaten lately that I've planned to. Is that going to be a good way to start a diet? Nah. It's almost failure from the beginning. And you know, that's the same way whenever I choose, I'm going to turn my heart toward the Lord. You know what? If I've got it in my mind, I'll tell you what, come camp meeting season, I'm going to get saved. But there's a lot of things I haven't done yet, and I'd like to be able to do them. You know what? That's failure from the very beginning. He is saying to them, bring forth fruits, meet for repentance. I just want to get saved. But there is a place, if I have a real godly sorrow, that I start turning my heart to Him before I've ever even hit the altar. That I am telling Him, I'm turning to You. Those things that I know You're displeased with, Lord, I'm cutting those things aside because I'm coming after You. There is a place, I'd like for us to go to it in 2 Corinthians 7, a godly sorrow that works a repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. I was looking in the commentary on that. It said, a heart that is truly contrite and penitent seeks God and implores pardon from Him. It says, all true and genuine repentance is that which regards sin as deriving its main evil from the fact that it's committed against God. Whenever I come to a place where this sin has grieved God Almighty, and it works a true repentance. Godly sorrow worketh. This is a fruit. It worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. You remember David when he sinned with Bathsheba? And I read back there in Psalms 51 and 4 where he has his prayer of repentance to the Lord. And he tells the Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil. And I've looked at that verse in the past and thought, wait a minute, how could he even say such a thing? He caused a man to be killed. He committed a lot of evils, and here he is saying, Lord, it's against You and You only that I sin. I don't think he was taking the blame away from the other things. I think the load of the sin that he had caused against God Almighty was such a heavy weight on him that he saw, this is where my sin is. I have failed God. This God that came by looking for some fruit. You remember where Nathan, I believe it was Nathan, came to David and he said, by this event, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You have brought my name down so far among the enemies of the Lord because you were supposed to live a high standard. You know, in 2012, it's the same way. The world is looking on, even though we're considered a Christian nation. The world is looking on. The folks that claim to be Christians and don't produce the fruit, they know how we should be producing it. And I want to be very careful of my life, that production is in my life. Where David on his had a godly sorrow, realizing I've sinned against God. There is another verse that I'd like for us to always remember. Proverbs 28 and 13. Whenever I am looking for fruit to be produced in my life, says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's a law just like gravity. It's not going to happen. There's another verse that says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, remember, we're not to the end yet. There is going to be payment for that. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh. You know, that's part of the fruits that are coming in our life. is a confession and then a forsaking of those things that I know that are wrong. So I want to be able to have that in my life. Back to the 11th verse of that 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, "For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly thought, this sorrow that I have will produce some fruit." It says, what a carefulness it wrought in you. What a clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire. What revenge. Now this sounds like something that's going to be putting away some things in his life. He's not going to be just continuing on, "I made a confession, but I made no change in my life." This one brings about a change. I'd like to look at another verse in Matthew 3 and 10. It says, "And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And I'm thinking about this story that we started out with, where God came through and says, "It's time to cut it down." And Jesus said, "Give me a little bit more time." Where am I today in 2012 in that process? Am I in the year that God said, that Jesus is saying, "Please, give me just a little bit more time. I've worked with him in the past. You're not seeing fruit yet, but give me a little bit more time." Or am I at the place where fruit is being produced? But I want to tell you, at any time, the devil is working to stop that production. And Christ is willing to keep working with me right now. I need to realize, though, that that mercy will run out one day. The day of his grace will one day be past. So I don't want to just rely on his mercy only. I want to take advantage of that mercy and make a change in my life. There is another one in Matthew in the 7th chapter, 15th verse. Here it's telling where we'll be able to see about some fruit. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." At 20th verse, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." But you know, that verse can be turned around also that says, "Wherefore, by my fruits, people are going to be able to know me." Those that I work with, those in my home, those that I come in contact with, will be able to tell what kind of fruit that I'm putting out. Now here in that 21st verse, it starts out by saying, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." You know, it's not going to be, think of the verse that says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes." It's easy for me to see myself as I believe everything is fine. I need the Lord to come along and do an examination in my heart to let me know, here's where you really stand before me. Here are areas that you need to make changes. Because I really don't want to come before the Lord in the end and say, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done so many things that should have, I thought they were going to be a credit to me at the end." And it's the 21st verse. "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Just a lot of things that I have done, but somehow they didn't get counted right. But you know what? I believe through that time, the mercy of the Lord would like to, I don't want to come to that place, and I don't believe he wants me to come to that place. At the end of my life, I thought it would be accepted, and it's rejected. Because I believe at this time is where he would like to be able to help me to produce fruits that would be acceptable before him. There is a place where he tells us about the fruits that need to be, that will be acceptable in James, the 3rd chapter, and in the 17th verse. It says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." Here's fruits that he wants to have flowing out of our life. Peaceable, gentle. Remember the verse of a song that says, "Lord, with thy gentleness I would be great." I would like to have the fruit growing in my life of gentleness. Now, that's not something that's just going to happen. That's going to be some things come my way to show me. You don't have it. You need to seek the Lord for it more in my life. There will be things that will come that will show it. Gentle, easy to be entreated. Do I have that fruit growing in my life? I'll tell you, I look back over the past and I'm so thankful for the mercy of the Lord when He showed me this place isn't growing in your life. You need to be able to be easily entreated, full of mercy. We heard about that last night. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll obtain mercy. And I tell you, I need the mercy of the Lord throughout my life. Even if the fruit production is good today, I need His mercy to show me tomorrow, hey Dan, here's a place that you're just starting to move out into an area that'll cause you problems. We don't have to go to a place that we fall into sin before we return back again. The Lord, in this digging about it, fertilizing it, He's right there working with it, showing me this fruit needs to be increased in your life. Without partiality, it says full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. That is a fruit that we don't want in our life. I can have it in my life to where the most important thing to me is that this fruit is growing that you think well of me. You know, that won't stand up when I stand before the Lord. I don't want to have that fruit in my life. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to be able to have that in my life. There's another place I'd like to go to in Galatians. In the 5th chapter and in the 22nd verse. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Starts out with that being the very first one. And you know, I find I need that fruit to grow in my life. I was thinking about the story of Dorcas in the Bible. You don't see chapters written about her. There's really only just a couple little verses. But it said that Dorcas, she was full of good works. And it wasn't something that was out to be seen. It was just what flowed out of her. The fruit that was growing inside and flowed out. This one, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. Each one of these things, I take inventory. Do I have this abounding in my life? Am I short on this area? And a lot of times, I'll not know it until something happens. And I need to start realizing this is the mercy of the Lord, that He caused this person to come and cross me and made me to realize I need this fruit. If I had not gone to the store the other day, I wouldn't have realized, you know what? I need more patience the next time I happen to get behind the coupon lady, because I didn't say anything. But I, you know, they've got to kind of have nerves of steel to be willing. The savings here is worth it to me, because there's got to be other people that would say something too. But for me in my life, not just that area, but other areas, patience is a virtue. It's a fruit that I need in my life. You're going to come in contact with a need of it. Thought about that verse, ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you receive a promise. We need to have patience through things that come into our life. With this one, good gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Thought about that verse, let your moderation be known to all men. In every area of my life, it be moderated. You know, there are areas of our life that are on fast forward today. There was just a few years ago when if you were traveling a couple cars at a time going somewhere, maybe you have done it before, back when it was just the only phones you had was that at home, that we would, a couple of us starting out across the country, and we'd say, okay, we got this agreement. Should we get parted, we get lost from each other, stop at a payphone somewhere and call back to this number, and they'll wait until they receive word from the other and they'll help us get together. We've come a long ways. Now you can have the cell phone and you can be talking to them at home. I was talking to Mansell yesterday and he's leading me along to get here. you know, mile marker, this mile marker, like a atlas, to be able to show me, here's where you turn. Now, I wouldn't have had that a few years ago. We have a lot of things at our disposal that are benefits. But you know, those very things can also be a curse if I'm not careful. I'm at the place where I can get on, you know, I was thinking this a few years ago on all of our, probably on all of our phone systems, they had this thing where they came out and said, I tell you what, you can now, we're going to give you a special rate on your phones at home. That's all we had was phones at home. If you'll call somebody from midnight till 7 in the morning, you'll get you a special rate. Well, there's not many people want to talk to me from midnight till 7 in the morning. But you remember that? You'll pay a lot more for daytime rates. You'll get a little better deal on the evening rates. A lot of things have changed now. You can now get unlimited talk and text and internet. You know, in these areas, I need to have temperance. I need to have moderation. Because you know what I find myself, even with a phone that they gave me from work, if I'm not careful, I'll go on and I'll just check what's the news for today. And you know, I can get caught up in those things. And there's an area where it's the things that are legal that I want to be real careful about. Because I have no desire in my heart to go after things that are wrong. But I want to be careful that I not fill my life with things that when the Lord comes along and He's wanting to dig about it, He's wanting to get some fruit to grow, that I really don't have time in my life. So I need to be able to have temperance. I'd like to look at another verse in 2 Peter, first chapter. Some things that we need to add to our life. 2 Peter 1 and 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, fruit that I'm adding to my tree, that when God Himself comes by, He will see some fruit being produced. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. Each one of these things, and you know we can read through it real fast, but when you get down to the place where you apply every one of these into my life in a fruit production that is pleasing to God, I'll be busy. I'll be busy out in the future. Add temperance, patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, a tree, you've seen maybe fruit trees sometime that is so loaded that they'll have to go out there and prop up the limbs or it's going to break them off. It has so much fruit growing on it. If these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day where God Himself is going to come by and check for fruit. And I look at this 10th verse. Says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fail, never fall. For so an entrance, and this is the place that at the end of my life, I want to be able to hear, well done. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be able to hear, well done, at the end of my journey. To be able to hear that, I need to be open and receptive to Him scratching around my tree and telling me this is an area that's keeping the fruit production down. I want to be able to make some changes in it. We have read in the past about the sower and the seed, the very beginning of fruit production. You remember where it said there were some that fell, it never even entered the heart, never even came to a place that it could have come to fruit. There were others that fell on stony ground, had a little bit of dirt, and it sprung up, but it didn't have any depth. And so when the sun came out, it scorched it, and it died. And it started telling us there's some things that in 2012 caused that to happen. It says, lest the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then God comes by, and He's not finding fruit on our life. But today, I'm thankful that Christ is saying, give me a little bit more time. In every one of our lives, I believe we're in the day of mercy today. But I don't want to just rely on that mercy only. I need to realize, with that mercy, He said, let me go and start digging around it. He Himself wants there to be fruit produced in my life. It also says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then it also says, how do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This week, my opportunity to come to services, several services, is part of that sowing the seed that is sown to me and what I do with it in my life. As I hear the Word of the Lord, that I let it reach a good soil where it's able to produce some fruit. In John, I'd like to look at another verse in John, the 15th chapter. And in the first verse, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit... Now, it looks like when we read that verse there, every branch that beareth fruit, he'd be happy with it. But instead, it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. He does some pruning. And I think about the fruit trees that people have, and it has some fruit on it, looks like you'd be satisfied. But a person that really knows about that kind of thing knows, you know what, if I cut off these limbs right here, they're not going to produce anyhow. And it'll give more of that life to these others that are producing. And in my life itself, God is wanting to do that. There are some things that maybe is not even sin in my life, but it can be a drain on me. And the Lord comes along and says, Dan, I'd like you to clip that out of your life because it will help this other to produce more fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What causes that process to happen in our life? When he purges it, so it'll bring forth more fruit. Over in Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, because I used to, when I was a child at home, I got whippings. And mom and dad would finish them off with saying, Dan, I tell you what, I sure love you. And I would, now maybe nobody else has ever done this, but for me, my little pity party was, you don't stay around mom and dad, you're liable to catch another one. So I'd go to the bathroom, lock the door, look in the mirror, I'm bawling and carrying on thinking, you know, if they really love me, it sure doesn't feel like it. Well, you know what? The Lord is the same way. When he says in the 11th verse of the 12th chapter, now no chastening for the presence seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Have you received chastening in your life from the Lord where he comes and says, you messed up there, and you get a whipping for it? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, what does it do? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If I take that chastening in the right way, it will cause fruit to be produced in my life. Now, I can take it in other ways, take it personal, not see the love of God in it, and it produce no fruit. But I believe what he's wanting to do in us, as he wants to produce some fruit, that chastening, that time that he comes to give me the whipping, it is because he loves me. He wants fruit to be produced. There's another verse that I'd like to look at in Isaiah. When God came to his own people, in the 5th chapter, says he planted a vineyard. And he was desiring to get some fruit from it. In Isaiah 5 and 1, right at the very end of that first verse, it says, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. He gathered out the stones thereof. He planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the middle of it. He also made a wine press therein. You know, he's just now planted it, and he's already building a wine press because he has full expectation. What I have planted here is going to bring some fruit, that I'm going to be able to make some money from this. Things are going to be well. But instead, it says when I read that, when he looked that it should bring forth grapes. You know, the end of it all, I have a decision. I have a choice that I get to make of what kind of fruit will be produced. He planted it. He desired for it to do well. But you know, the choice is mine. He didn't make us like robots that I have no choice of what I do with the seed that he planted in my heart. And the children of Israel had a choice also. And when he says this, I kind of feel sad for God when he came by looking for fruit. Third verse, it says, now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. That fourth verse says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? If I take this in my own life as I'm going through life, and God is saying, Dan, what more could I be doing to draw you closer to me than what I'm already trying to do? I send things your way to try to get you to stop and think more about me. And you know what? I'm in a fast pace just like everybody else is. I have time for sickness about 24 hours, and then I need to be back up and going. And so when something comes more than that, if I'm not careful, it doesn't produce fruit. I can chafe underneath it. When I need to realize, here he's saying, what more could I have done than what I'm already doing for it? I believe God is doing everything he can that I would be saved, that you would be saved, that we would produce some fruit in our life. But the final decision is mine. And here he's saying at the end, fifth verse, he says, now go to. Remember when he told him at the beginning, I've looked for it for these 3 years, and I'm not finding any. Now it's time to cut it down. Here God is saying, here he's saying, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof. You know, God today has got a hedge around his people. Remember, he had it around Job, and the devil himself realized it. Even though he allowed some things to be able to come in and touch Job, the devil told him, yes, he's serving you. It's because you have a hedge built about him. God has a hedge around us. He will allow some things to come through that he intends to be able to help us produce more fruit. But he is totally in control of that. But it is possible that it comes to the day where he says, I'm going to take away the hedge thereof. I don't ever want that to be able to happen in my life. I want to be able to have him keeping the hedge, allowing things to come in that will help me to produce fruit, but him holding the hedge about me. Because you know what? When he releases the hedge and he allows the stone wall to be taken down, we're in a world today that will consume us. We are no match for the devil without his help. So in closing, I'd like to, for us each one, when we go away from here and throughout this week, as a message comes to us, that I will search my heart. In this process, these 3 years, I've come by seeking for fruit, and I haven't found it. Am I in that phase? Am I at the place where the Lord has said, give me 1 year. Let me do everything I can with this tree in 1 year. Then if you can't get it, then okay, I'll let it go. Or are we at the place, you remember, where after all the seed had been sown, it says there were some that brought forth plentifully. They brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold fruit-producing trees. And that's not something that once I start producing, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Tomorrow, I'm going to need the Lord to come along. And whether it be the coupon lady or something else that happens in my life, it could be you at a road construction where there are so many cars backed up and it seems like things ought to be going faster. A lot of times, for me to produce more fruit, the Lord is going to have to slow me down. And it is his mercy that's being extended to me. I want to have fruit production in my own life. I desire your prayers.